Everybody have a great week. I hope you did. Today's the Sunday of hope, right? And I hope that everybody had a great week. I hope that a lot of things, you know, that's one word that we use a lot is hope. We use the word for just about everything. You know, I hope that it stops raining. That's what I was saying yesterday. I hope that it would stop raining, but it didn't. It just kept raining. Sometimes we hope a lot of things, you know, especially this time of year. You know, we hope we don't eat too much. We hope that we can lose the pounds that we need to lose after we've eaten too much. We, you know, you get the picture. We hope in a lot of things, and we hope and hope and hope and hope and hope. I mean, I don't know how many times I use that word. And it just dawned on me, you know, I'm thinking, how many times a day do I use that word hope? It's probably in every other sentence. Well, I hope. You know, we just went through Black Friday, and my wife had a lot of hope in Black Friday, you know, and I think there's a lot of, you know, I stood in line to get something for 3 hours. Was not my choice, I'll tell you that. Okay? But my anticipation for that was I hoped that I would get what I was standing in line to get, right? So I had hope in this anticipation. I anticipated that what Walmart had said that they would do, I had hope that I would get what I was standing in line to get. And let me tell you, it takes, I mean, standing in line for 3 hours to get something, that takes effort, doesn't it? So I had to have a lot of hope that I was going to get what I was standing in line to get, right? And I had an eager anticipation, right, that I was going to get what I was going to get. Now, where am I going with this morning? You know, it's kind of like our Christian life. It's kind of like our walk and our faith, the hope that we have is in Jesus Christ, you see? And it's an anticipation of what's to come. We should have an eager anticipation. Well, Christmas season's coming up, and for 400 years, they had this anticipation that the Messiah would come. And it was an eager anticipation that the Messiah would come. And so, that eagerness we should have as well, right? You know, I had hope that that TV was going to be there, right? Whenever. Why? Because, for one thing, they advertised it, right? They advertised it. They had the sale ad that came out. And it said, Black Friday sale, this is going to be on sale today, today only, limited quantities. So I had the future, the prophecy. Okay, that was going to be there, right? I hadn't seen it, but I had this hope that it was there. Now, I said all that. In the Scriptures, when we look at the Scriptures, the word hope is used 200 times in the Scriptures. 200 times. And when we look at how it's used, we start to get this big picture, this big of what the word means, how the description's laid out in the Scripture, and it is a hope means a confident expectation of the future. See, just like when I had read that Black Friday ad, I had confidence in the future that if I was going to go and endure and stand in line, that I was going to get what I was standing in line to get. And this hope, this confident expectation in future, it means it's a contagious enthusiasm for what will come. You know, the idea of hope is that we're looking forward to the future with enthusiasm, with confidence, with expectation that There is a blessing on the other end of all this that we deal with in life here. You know, this world is not so hopeful sometimes. I don't want to sound doom and gloom because life is not all doom and gloom. But the expectations of things that we have here, Walmart will fail you at times. Come on now. People will fail you at times. We can put our hope and our trust in people, but they will fail you at times. We can put our trust in those things, okay? And this morning we're going to look at where we can put our hope. And that hope is a good thing. We're going to look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And as you're getting there, I'm going to sum up. I'm going to kind of go through this. Paul writes the book of Romans. This is the letter to the Romans. You know, it's a wonderful letter. In the book of Romans, Paul outlines through the chapter 1 and 11 a beautiful theology. It's really a great theology that he puts out here. He begins to talk about all of us being condemned before the Lord, but this good and gracious God has made a way for us. And he talks about the promise given to Abraham in chapter 5, and he talks about the justification in chapter 6, and in the sanctification in chapter 8, glorification he talks about. Then he talks about a God calling people unto himself. You know, he's laying out this truth about our salvation that we have. In chapter 12, he turns and he talks about these truths that, you know, that aren't just concepts. They're not just concepts or precepts. These are truths. The Bible is true, is what these scriptures are true. And he lays out these truths for us, and we can see how these truths work in our daily lives. He goes on in chapter 12, 13, and 14, and in 15, and in chapter 16, he's going to close the letter with some remarks and some greetings. And at the end of chapter 15, if we go back to the 15, in verse 13, Paul is laying out the promise that is given to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And he ends the letter in verse 13 of chapter 15. You know, Paul, he just writes this through the power of the Holy Spirit. You ever had the Holy Spirit just come on you and you just had this thought come to you, just like, wow, there it is. You ever felt that? I can't imagine what Paul felt as he wrote the letters that he wrote through the power of the Holy Spirit guiding his hands and his thoughts. We can read that. You know, as Paul takes a deep breath, I can imagine he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's Paul's hope for the readers that they get what he's saying throughout this whole book. And he says this in chapter 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He says, "May the God of hope, may the God of hope hear." Here's my point. If we walk away with nothing else this morning, if we walk away with just this, God is both the source of hope and He's our supplier of hope. If that's what we walk away with, if that's what we leave here today with, and we understand that God is the source of hope, He is the supplier of hope, and it only comes from Him. Because in this world we live in today, we'll find no hope in anything else. All the hope you and I have down here, all these misplaced hopes are basically probabilities. Our life is set up with probabilities. We hope that we save enough money so that when we retire that we have enough money to live on. That's a probability, that we put the right amount in and it gains the right amount. All these probabilities that we live through every day. All of that is based on probabilities. It is based on a kind of wish and a hope that may or may not come true. Whether it's a person or a thing or a system or a spouse or whatever it is you're banking on in probabilities, but with the God of hope, it's different. You're banking on a promise, and you're banking on a promise that God Himself made. And God does not lie. Amen? In the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul says this, and this is a God who cannot lie, is what it says. When He promised to do these things, He will do them. These promises He has placed over you and over your life and spoken over you, these things will happen. We have the textbook right here. It tells us from the book of Genesis, it lays out. Moses even says, this is what's going to happen. They were looking forward to this and in Jesus' birth. They were looking for the Messiah. And just like they were looking for the Messiah, we're looking for the coming of Christ again. Amen? Amen. Because the Word says that. I have an eager anticipation that one day that Christ is going to come back for me. Amen? Amen. This season should be an exciting time because it's a time that we remember that there is a Messiah. We should never forget that every day. Amen. But this is a time that we celebrate it. We're anticipating its coming. Our hope is not based on probabilities, but on a promise. Paul says, may the God of hope, may the one who authors it, may the one who has sourced it, may the origin of hope, may this God of hope, may He do something. May He fill you. I love that word. Amen? I love that word. May you be filled. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with that the source that brings me hope. Because I'm going to tell you, in this world, I've had my times of hopelessness. I've had my times where you put your trust in people or you put your trust in certain things and it'll let you down. I've got an old car, I drive an old truck, and let me tell you, you put your hope and faith in that, and it's going to let you down sooner or later. But I know that God will never let me down. God will never let me down. No matter what I go through here on this earth, no matter what, my hope is in Him. My hope is that I know He's going to come back one of these days. I know that there's eternity with Him as long as I believe and I trust in Him. That's all. I've got a lot this morning. I had to write all this down. I tried to mark out some of it, but I just couldn't. You know, when Paul talks about joy, which he uses, as something else I learned, Paul uses joy more than any other in the New Testament. Paul, you know, he uses it 21 times. Paul uses the word joy. Paul is going to speak about joy. I remember that song, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. You remember that one? Granny Clampett used to sing that. Of course, it usually was when she left the special recipe, or was that what she called it? Oh, Lord. You know, this is a mark of the Christian joy. What he's talking about is when he talks about joy, he's talking about the inward satisfaction that we have. It's not about the outward stuff. We can get joy from all the things down here in this earth, but it only brings outward satisfaction. It never brings inward satisfaction, only for short times. But God brings an inward satisfaction. God brings that joy that is overflowing, that never ends. He brings that hope that goes beyond any other hope. He's talking about an inward, not an outward, a satisfaction of the soul that wells up with delight in knowing He is my God and I am His child. Amen?
Amen.
You think about that. You are His child if you're a believer this morning. You're His son and you're His daughter. That joy, that inward satisfaction of the soul is different than a superficial of most things that we deal with here. Paul here, he's praying for the people of God that they would be filled with joy and they would be filled with peace. And the two things, they work together, joy and peace. He's not talking about that inward satisfaction again. He's talking about the inward settlement of the soul. That satisfaction that's so deep into the soul that you can rest in contentment. Because you know, and you know that you're saved, and you know that you're going to heaven, and you know it. And nobody can take that away from you because you are a believer, and you have that faith, and you have that hope, and you don't need to be satisfied by anything else. Charles Spurgeon says this about this verse. He describes it this way. He said, "Peace is resting joy. Joy is dancing peace. Joy cries Hosanna before the well-beloved, but peace leans her head on His bosom. We work with joy and we rest in peace." Amen.
Amen.
Leon Morse goes on to say this too about the same scripture. He says that joy relates to the delight of anticipation in seeing one's hope fulfilled. And peace results from the assurance that God will fulfill those hopes. God fills those hopes. Joy and peace working together. It's important that this point that we stop and remember what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about joy and peace being some type of personality. It's not about that outward personality. The joy that he's talking about, when he's talking about peace, he's not talking about, you know, somebody who's all happy and giddy all the time. He's talking about that person that may be on their deathbed, that person that's dealing with cancer, that person that is going through something in their life, but yet, even though they're going through something in their life, that you can see that God is with them in their soul, and their soul is joyful, and their soul has hope. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. When Paul is praying and asking for the people of God, praying for the people of God, is that you and I would be filled up with the evidence of the work of the Spirit in our lives. To be filled up with this, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." May He fill you with this. See, you see, this all works together between God and us. It all works together, this relationship, this. In this phrase, he writes here, in believing, he says. What is the Apostle Paul saying here about that? What is Paul saying here about in believing? If you follow, you know, through the whole book, when you think about what Paul's saying, in believing means that you have placed your love and your trust, you have placed your confidence, you have placed your faith in the one who was sent to reconcile you, the one who was sent to redeem you, the one who was sent to save you. That's where you put your hope. That's where you put your trust. That's the one you believe in. Amen. Paul's been arguing about this really through all the book of Romans. And although we were condemned, God made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. And although we were condemned, although we were without hope, God Himself sent His Son to reconcile the lost sinners. And even while we were sinners, the Scripture says, Christ died for us. So when I say that phrase, in believing, it's you and me putting our belief and our trust and our confidence and our hope in the one who reconciled. Paul goes on to say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So as you believe on the one whom I sent, as you believe on the one who died on the cross for your sins, and as you believe in the one who rose from the dead, and as you believe in Him, as you put your love and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit is at work within you, producing the fruits of the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to say, so that. I like that. You can really break this scripture down because he goes on and he says, so that. What does he mean by so that? So that. So that. This is why I want this, is what he's saying. I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. So that. So that. This is why I'm praying. So that you would be filled with joy. So that you would be filled with peace. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you may abound in hope. You can see here that he starts off with hope and he ends with hope in this scripture. The God of hope is longing for us to abound in hope. How does that happen? It's God's nature. It is all in His nature. He is saying, I'm praying you would be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And as you're filled with the fruit of the Spirit, an inward satisfaction of the soul, a joy and a peace happens. And He's saying, I pray that it produces a growing desire and a hope in the Lord. And as you have a growing desire and an abundance of hope in the Lord, it's producing in you more evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. You know, I have this thought sometimes, and I think it's just natural for us. You know, I want to see the fruits of the Spirit work through people. I want to see that evidence in people. I want to go back to that thought here in a minute. As you long to see the Spirit work in your heart more and more, and as the fruit of the Spirit is giving evidence of His work in your heart, more and more producing joy, producing peace, producing satisfaction of the soul, that is producing the abundance of hope. The abundance of hope. You know, the good news about the one who supplies hope is that He is the abundant supplier of it. Isn't that a great thing to hear this morning? You know, because sometimes I want to worry about the numbers on the board back there. Sometimes I look at that and I think, well, you know, last week we had 100. This week we've only got 72. And I think, man, what's going on? I know there's a lot of people out and sick today and gone on vacation. But then God reminds me, don't worry about that, because that's not what you should focus on. You shouldn't focus on that. You should focus on what's abundant in your life. You should focus on the hope and the peace and the joy that I give you. Because if I preach that and I teach that, and you all are getting it too, and you all are searching and searching the Scriptures and growing in the Spirit, if you're all doing that and I'm doing that and my focus is on Him and not on the things of this earth and worrying about things that really I shouldn't be worried about, when we're growing in the Spirit and we're relying in God, that nature of God is coming out in us and we're producing the fruits of the Spirit, guess what'll grow? God's kingdom will grow. God's kingdom will grow. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because God is good. God is fruitful. God is all that. God is the source. God is it. I could just quit right here, couldn't I? You know, my hope for this year, and I know this is not New Year's, but it's coming up for this Christmas season, for this holiday season, as we celebrate and as we anticipate this, we should get excited about what's to come in the future, because we know we have it right here prophesied to us right here in the Scripture of what's to come. And if we're believers this morning, we should want to increase. I would want you to increase. I want to study more. I want to learn more. I want to get all I can get out of God. Amen? I do. Can I say that and not be selfish? But it's not just what I want to get out of God. I want you guys to get everything that you can get out of God, because I know that it's going to bring joy to your heart. I know that it's going to bring peace in your life. I know that it's going to give you hope when you don't have hope, when you're going through things in your life that you don't understand. That's good stuff. Why? You know, we're going through this busy season right now. We're looking for gifts and we're focused on that. We want to buy our family gifts and give stuff, you know, and we get tied up. We are eating, having dinners and all that stuff. Man, that just takes a lot of time, doesn't it? I'm just thinking about how many Saturdays that I don't have. I've got things going on every Saturday for the next couple months. It seems like there's always something going on. Good stuff. But I'm not saying this morning, what I'm saying is this season is going to be busy. It is. It's going to be busy, and we're going to be running around, and we're going to be standing in line for 3 hours waiting on something because we got won it, right? We get a good deal on it. Everybody likes to get good deals. Being good stewards of God's money, right? That's how can we justify it like that? Maybe not. I just want us to all feel that joy of anticipation of what's to come. It's not all doom and gloom, because I know that Jesus said one day, He said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back for my church. I'm going to come back for my people. And I'm going to take them to a place where they can live eternally with me. That's the hope that we have. That's the belief that I have. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. If you're a non-believer this morning, what's all this mean? If you're a non-believer this morning, I want to encourage you. Listen, God right now is offering you a gift called eternal life. And it comes through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that right now, in this moment, as I'm speaking to you, God Himself is making His appeal through me to you. He's using a broken, messed up, dysfunctional vessel like me to make His appeal to you. What is that appeal? What is He offering to you? What He's saying, He said, I can make you reconciled with the Father. I can give you eternal life. I've already paid the price. All you have to do is stand in line. Just like I stood in line because I had hope that I was going to get that TV. Jesus says all you have to do is stand in line, but when you get up to the cash register, you don't have to pay for it because it's already paid in full. And you can enjoy it for eternity. You know, if I could summarize it all up, He's offering you hope that only He can offer. And He wants to give it to you in abundance. He wants to give it to you. And you know what? His supply, Walmart only had 98 of those. And they run out. And there was people that waited 3 hours and stood in line that didn't get what they waited for. But Jesus never runs out. You can stand in line and He'll always be there for you. It's a hope that won't disappoint. It's a hope that lasts forever. And it's a hope that brings peace and joy and love in this season, in this time, and in this world that we live in today where we don't see much of that really. You don't have to look very far to find dysfunction, to find hopelessness, to find no peace, to find no joy. You don't have to look far. But you also don't have to look far to find it, to find hope, to find peace, to find joy. All you have to do is look to the Father and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And you'll have it more and more abundant, that joy in your life and that hope that only He can bring. God is good. And He wants more for us than we could ever imagine and more than we ever deserved. And I just praise Him this morning. I praise Him this morning. And I give Him my life every day. And I ask, will you do the same? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, I thank You for that hope that You've given abundantly. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I anticipate Your coming. I'm looking forward to that day when I can see You face to face. When I can see You, Lord, and I know that I believe this with all my heart. I have this hope because I believe in you. I believe in your word. I believe in the truths that the scripture, I believe in the truths that Paul wrote in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. I believe in these truths, Lord. And you said, one day, you'll be with me in eternity. And I'm going to build a mansion for you. And you're going to live there with me. Lord, I believe that. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't have that hope in their life and that peace and joy, Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to surround them, to just fill their lives up, just overwhelm them with your love. Lord, be with us as we leave today. Bring us back safely tonight. Lord, let us anticipate your coming. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.